radio broadcast, the ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Judges, and we're in chapter 3. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. We want to have reputation. We want to have a life like faith. The Bible tells us that the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and for us, he stays with us. And what we do is we subject him to three different things. We can quench him, we can grieve him, we can be filled with him. But the fact is that when we are doing what God wants us to do, that's where the fullness of the Spirit will be expressed in our lives. Believers don't realize sometimes how to get that sense of the Spirit of God's fullness in their life. It comes from service. It comes from being in the thick of things. It comes from crying even as you're serving. You know, sometimes you can be so sad and so depressed. You just go serve. You just go love. You just go care. You're not here for you. Just remember that. The body is a burden. You want to know how that's lived out? You carry this flesh with you. Not only do you have to deal with the nations symbolically here, all the things arrayed against you in your world, but you've got to deal with you. Your flesh is against you. And what you have to recognize is that your flesh is a burden. Like Paul calls it, the body of this death. A way to really get your mind around that, if you really want to grab yourself by the scruff of the neck and get yourself under control, fast for about 3 days. You'll be dragging and you'll think, man, this body, I'm fine. But man, this body just doesn't want to do anything. God says, when you fast, don't appear before men to be fasting. He says, but he who sees in secret will reward you openly. He says, comb your hair, you know. Anoint your face. Wash your face. Get up. Go out there in the world. Do your day-to-day for 3 days with no food. And after a while, you'll begin to realize this body is against you. Because every time you go by a McDonald's that you don't even like, it's going to smell better than it ever did. And you're going to begin to see how sinister sin is. Because even as the appetites are involved in your day-to-day physical eating, there's also those fleshly appetites that have to be reined in. And they can't be reined in by brute strength. We have to fall on the Lord and do it His way. It's called displacement. If you're doing something good, you don't have time nor opportunity to do the bad as much or as readily. Verse 10 says, the Spirit of the Lord came upon him and he judged Israel, went out to war, and the Lord delivered Cushan-Rishathaim, king of Mesopotamia, into his hand, and his hand prevailed against Cushan-Rishathaim. The Bible says in verse 11, and the land had rest 40 years. And Othniel, the son of Kenaz, died. So he was a judge. They were in dire straits for 8 years. It got so bad, they're crying out with almost shrieking cries. God, where are you? God, we don't know what to do. And the next thing you know, in all of his grace and mercy, he raises up deliverance. Do you know the Bible says there hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, and God will with the temptation make a way of escape. You know, Jesus is our advocate. These things write unto you, little children, 1 John 2:1 says, that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. You have an advocate. He will stand in your place. And he will speak for you with wounds that plead for your forgiveness and your acceptance. And the Bible says that when we're asking, he's forgiving. Because if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive our sins. How do you get out of the thicket? You get down on your face and you go back and touch the foot of the cross. And you do it more humbly this time maybe than you did last time. If you haven't gone deep enough to shake off the grave clothes of the old man, then you need to get down lower. I remember Adrian Rogers years ago. I heard him in school when I was in college, and he came to do one of the commencement addresses. And he came in and he said when he got called into the ministry, he got out on a football field, and he was quite an athlete, I guess, as a younger man. And he says, I got down on the ground, and he said, and I just wept, oh God, where are you? What do you want me to do? I don't know. I'm so uncertain. And he said, I couldn't get any lower. And he said, so I took the dirt, and I began to dig the dirt away. And I put my face down in the dirt because I wanted clarity. I wanted God. And his story is one of a monumental force in our day today. Being dead, he yet speaketh. He has a man of reputation. And what a powerful testimony he has left to you and me. Well, the Bible says that Cushan-Rishathaim was handily dealt with. Because one man stood up. A man of reputation. A man with presence. Remember that. A man with presence. We know who he is. As soon as he walks in the door, we know who he is. The Bible says, then, after Othniel died, 40 years now, rest. I want you to understand something about rest. A lot of people don't understand about rest. Rest is something God wants us to enter into. You may think in some sense that you could never get to the place where you're fully resting because the struggle is so great. I tell you what, there are people on the other side of this globe that we live on who are being persecuted in an overt way, and God isn't there for them. You may have heard the singing over in China where the Hong Kong lease is up and they're trying to get all those Chinese people and extradite them and trying to break down churches. And you know in China itself, they're actually taking pastors and they're disbanding churches. It's on over there. And God is showing up. These people are out by the millions. Hong Kong is a city of 7 million people. And of those 7 million, 2 million showed up in the streets protesting the takeover of that city. Their protests were not what we might call violent in any way. In fact, a large portion of them are singing, "Sing hallelujah to the Lord." And it's one chorus over and over again. And it's a powerful testament of how God shows up. And then you hear the stories. It'll make you weep to find how people who were maybe atheist or agnostic would come and ask them, how does this work? And God's raising up the Spirit of God in their midst because now it's getting kicked out of the salt shaker. You see, you can cruise until it's hard. But the moment that it's made easy, it's easy to drift. And that's a different thing. And some people don't know that there can be rest. These people found it for 40 years. Think about that. As a Christian, you may think, oh, I can never get to the place where I feel like I'm confident as a Christian. Maybe you sometimes feel like you've got your nose pressed to the bakery window and you're hungry for it. Man, I really want to eat. I want to take up the bread of life and be one who is clearly a follower of Jesus, a mimetite, one who's imitating Jesus. I want you to know it can happen. It's something that's supposed to happen. It's not going to change your circumstances, but it will change your heart. When that happens, you're good no matter what comes. You find out who's real and who's not when you find out when the trials and the difficulties come. When they begin to buckle and get mad at God over the difficulties, that says something about what's wrong in the heart. And that's okay. God let this happen so they'd see it. And God didn't do it to show himself. He wanted to show them. And once they had 40 years of peace, everybody's saying, man, they're just cruising along. They don't even have a king. This is the book of Judges. They got one guy down there. They got a question, go ask him. And they looked to him for some leadership. But no anointed king. Well, the Bible says after he had died in verse 12 that the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord. And the Lord strengthened Eglon, the king of Moab, against Israel. And Eglon recruits in verse 13 the children of Ammon and Amalek. And it says when he recruits them, he smites, verse 13, Israel. Now, notice, this is a bigger deal here because you got three kings coming against them now. What? Three kings? And these are three enemies. Can I just tell you, you've got a lot of spiritual enemies. I mean, you and I aren't, we don't maybe see somebody with the vitriol in their faces that some people do on the other side of the earth, but you've got enemies, and if you can't see it, you're going to be woefully prepared to deal with it. I'm going to quote a recent song that's been back in the news. Beelzebub's got a devil set aside for you. Okay, he does. I think that's Bohemian Rhapsody. He might have a couple. And they are on your scent. And they know every look of your face. They are not limited by time. They've seen your kind before. And they know exactly what to do to press your buttons. And I'm telling you, if you don't learn, listen, war, if you don't learn to fight, if you don't know that you're wrestling against principalities, if you're not aware that what's going on in you is not you. Paul said that which I want to do, I don't do. And that I don't want to do, that I do. Some of us, we hear that and say, yeah, that's me, but we don't really think about it. Maybe that you want to do is what you want to do. Not that you don't want to do is what you don't want to do. Maybe you're just in sync with that. And it's okay that you can use that verse to say, I'm just, you know, I'm struggling. Listen, God would have us all be a people who really do a little bit of inventory when the flood comes. What is in your heart? Are you a man of reputation, and you're worried, are you able to navigate the big swells in the ocean? Are you able? Because you understand that Jesus is the master of that ship, and that he's able to get you through, and no matter where you are, you're there by design. There are people who live their entire lives going through a kind of over and over review of history that wasn't even part of their history, and they're just mad. I don't care what you went through. I don't care where you came from. I don't care how bad it was. In fact, if it was bad, you can say, listen, with Joseph, you meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. Because God would have you and He would have me open our eyes and recognize that He is in control of everything. That's part of the thing He proves us with. He takes out some impurities and He says, now, you're a little better ready. And then He puts you back on the fire again. Now, He sees some more impurities. But are you seeing them? And that's the question, right? Are we seeing them in ourselves? The Bible says that they did evil in the sight of the Lord, and these three kings came up against them. Primary among them was the king of Moab, Eglon. He was the leader of that group. Verse 14, it says, and so the children of Israel served Eglon, the king of Moab, for 18 years. See how much easier it is next to go a little longer? We can take a little more. You know, you may get up and start trying to work out. You thought, I'm going to the gym. I saw a good sign the other day. It says, I don't want to boast or anything, but I got my 14-day diet done in 3.5 days. I don't want to boast. True, isn't it? We've got to do that. You see, what I'm saying is that we get a little better at stuff. We might go 5 days next time on our 14-day diet. But I'm saying to you, these people went 8 years, then they're going 18. You get a little bit comfortable with the fact that God will deliver when you ask. You found that out, He'll run to your aid. But you got 18 years you lost. I mean, hopefully, not like that for you, but I'm just saying, you can go further. You can do more. You can get further down the road. Because God raised up a deliverer. You know, that's a problem. The Bible says, but when the children of Israel, verse 15, cried unto the Lord raised them up a deliverer, Ehud. Now, Ehud is an interesting man. His name means, I will praise. I will pray. The Bible says he was a man who was left-handed. And you look at that and you say, wow, man, is this going to be politically correct if, you know, to throw off on people? I don't even know what a word would be, but if you give it time, people are going to say there's a word for that, some kind of a phobia about people with left-handed problems. Well, the word literally means that it was a man who had a limit because of his right hand, so he's left-handed. Now, that doesn't mean that he was crippled. It just means that maybe he did go left-handed from the get-go. Now, there are others that have that going on, and we're going to see them later in the book. There's a whole group of them in Benjamin that are really good at being left-handed, and that's the problem. But there was something about being right-handed that was preferred in those days. So he was left-handed, which gave him a little bit of an advantage. If you do have a disadvantage in your physical life, I have a thumb that's half gone. I lost it when I was about 3 years old, and it's about half. So I realized when I was in the ministry, I could talk to you about the tribulation. 3.5 years at the beginning and then 3.5 years at the end. And so God gave me a half a thumb, so I always had a digit I could give you as a half. Amen? So the world meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. So here I am. And I'm always whining about I can't pick that up, and man, that thumb's in the way, and boy, it's a problem. All I'm saying is if you have an incapacitation, maybe it's God's birthmark on your life. Maybe it's what He wants to use you through, you know? And so the Bible says he was left-handed, and he came up with a plan. So we had a man with presence, now we have a man with a plan. Because the Bible says that Ehud was raised up. He was a left-handed man in verse 15. And by him the children of Israel sent a present, or a tribute. You know, they had to give tribute. It says he had to go and give a present unto Eglon, the king of Moab. But Ehud made him a dagger, and it was a cubit in length. Now, the interesting thing, this is the only place this word shows up in the Bible. It's a smaller than normal cubit. It's probably about 12 to 14 inches. Usually a cubit is from the elbow to the tips of the fingers. It is believed that this means from the elbow to the tip of the knuckles. This guy was a man who says, I'm going to praise. And his praise was becoming one who was a man of war. If you're going to be a man of war in your spiritual life, you need to make some preparation. You need to prepare. And this man prepares. And the Bible says he girded under his raiment upon his side and went in.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.